Today on our program, visiting with Chuck Boehm, who, I don't know, do I just call you Piano Man? Or?
No, just Chuck.
It's just Chuck. Chuck Boehm does, well, the big project he's been working on has been the outdoor piano in Boone. But you do a lot of piano restoration in your shop. You've done a lot of different things. People know you going around and tuning pianos and things like that. But the big project has really been the outdoor piano, the first piano. Let's talk a little bit about that, because Chuck started this, what?
2015, put together a piano to go outside, and it was a collaboration of myself and a dozen people in my Piano Technician Guild chapter. We got together and we decided to take a piano. It was a Wurlitzer console, and we modified it every way we could with the idea that it would be able to stay outside in the rain and not be ruined like most outdoor pianos are, because there's a lot of street pianos that are put outside. If you go on the internet, you can see pictures of pianos that have been painted up and made to look pretty, but actually they're just donated pianos with nothing done to them other than a fancy paint job. And the first time they get rained on, they're done. So we tried all sorts of things. We spent three Saturdays, the whole chapter and I, making modifications. And really it was very successful, because it stayed outside downtown Boone from location to location for three summers, no cover provided, right through rain and shine. And after the end of three summers, it had gotten to the point where it was getting beyond repair in certain ways. So we abandoned the project, but it lasted for a good long time.
I was going to say, and we'll have some pictures posted online, but the original keys out of there, mm-hmm. I guess, it's wood. And I'm sorry, you did what you could to treat it and preserve it.
We tried protecting them in every way we could. The first time it was outside and got rained on, I was actually up in Minnesota with my wife, and I got a phone call from the mayor, and he said it had been vandalized. And I looked at pictures that he posted, and all the sharp keys had come off. Well, it hadn't been vandalized. The glue joint between the sharp part and the key had weakened, and the sharps had simply fallen off. So when I got back, the first thing I did was take the keys home, and I put two screws through each sharp key. You can see them here. And held it together. And then other things started happening, and I kept modifying them and modifying them. But in the end, it was the keys that were the weak point, kind of the Achilles heel.
So 3 years it was out. Mm-hmm. You actually moved around, and I know what you had city crews help you move jockeying.
It actually sat in front of 36 different locations, businesses and schools and retirement homes. It was out in front of DMAC. It really went to a lot of different locations.
So after that was done, then a little bit of a break, or when did you really start taking a look at it? Was what could I do to weatherize something?
Well, a couple things happened that inspired me. I was called by the Catholic Church. They had a old upright down in their rectory that they wanted removed, but because of the weight of the piano and the stairs going up, it was in the basement, I decided, and I was just me working on it, I dismantled it. I took it completely apart. I took the cabinet apart. I took out the cast iron plate, all the insides. But the case was so fancy, I didn't just take a sledgehammer. I dismantled it carefully and took all the case parts home. And then George Eckstein called, and he had a Wurlitzer studio piano in the garage at the Mamie Eisenhower birthplace, and he wanted to get rid of it, so I picked that up. And I got looking at, I had the Wurlitzer and the case to the upright in my shop, and I got looking at them, and I thought, well, it'd be fun if I could put the insides of the Wurlitzer in the case of the Kohler & Campbell 1903 upright. So I assembled the case of the upright. I took off the case parts of the Wurlitzer and put the inside parts inside of it. And that alone, combining those two, took a long time to get everything. It'd be like putting a Ford engine in a Chevy. It wasn't made to fit. So, but the advantage is the inside part, the Wurlitzer, is actually smaller in dimensions than the inside of the Kohler & Campbell case. So there's dead air space around the entire inner core piano. And you can circulate air, you can keep it warm and dry, and it just makes an ideal situation. It's like the inside piano has a little house that keeps it from getting...
Being directly affected by a lot of the elements.
Being directly affected.
Yeah.
So that started it off. And then I started looking at different ways to improve the keys. I didn't want to use the original wooden keys of the Wurlitzer, and I tried liquid plastic, I tried aluminum, and then finally I hit on the 3D keys. So, and I gotta put a big thank you out to Todd Wolston of Midwest 3D Solutions. Without his help, I couldn't have done this. He provided the expertise. I just came up with the idea for the keys. But these were printed on a $23,000 commercial printer with high-grade filament. It would have been impossible on a home hobbyist type of printer.
Sure.
And he donated his time. We're paying for the materials, but it was his generosity that allowed this to work.
And I do know that you've had people that have come up, because it's not inexpensive, just having it done, the materials for it.
The materials for the keys were $3,600. And then I've got other expenses. I've been purchasing a lot of things. Boone Hardware has benefited from my my checkbook has just a whole line of Boone Hardware purchases. And so, but people have been very generous. The keys are actually paid for now. I'm to the point where I'm trying to pay off. I got a trailer for it to pull behind my truck so it can be taken from point to point. And other things. We're putting in a sound system, just a lot of different things that I'd like to finish up on.
So we do have some of the keys here, some of the keys that were made. And again, it was trial and error as you were going through it. So there was some cost up front, you know, working your way through this whole process.
Well, I've posted that I've spent 500 hours on this, which I think is a conservative estimate. But a lot of that time was going down blind alleys and trying things. For example, the aluminum keys, I'm betting I spent 100 hours trying to make that work, and it didn't. So if I ever were to do this again, which I promised my wife I wouldn't, if I were ever to do this again, I probably would able to accomplish it in half that time or a third of that time.
Okay. So obviously, at the same time, you still have your business of other piano restorations and things like this. So you couldn't work on this all the time, but...
I went through periods where I wasn't working on it, and finally, this spring, I was motivated by, again, my wife's concerns that I get it finished up. We kept saying, well, people have donated. They want to know when this is going to be done. So I've spent a lot of time this summer wrapping things up, and I keep on saying 95% done, but I'm still at that figure because there's things that aren't completely finished. I'd like to get it to the point this weekend. I'm honing in on the end. I'd like to get it to the point where I can put it outside of my shop so I can monitor it for a couple of weeks, then hopefully have it downtown around Thanksgiving for a week or two or 3 weeks, and then back to the shop.
And let's talk a little bit about this weekend. If people want to stop by and see it, because we got the pictures, but I don't think the picture really does it justice.
I'm going to devote Saturday to showing people around and the shop and showing them what I've done. In the morning, if they'd like to come anytime after 9, I'll have the piano apart so I can show what's been done inside to make this work. And then after lunch, I'll put it all back together and we'll try it out. And I'd like to roll it outside and get it on a platform that I have, and people could try playing it. I've got a shower system set up that we could have a little artificial rainfall. Yeah. And I actually did a segment on that on my Facebook page, and that's kind of fun. But anyway, Saturday morning, and I encourage people to bring kids along. I think they'd be very interested, grade school age kids, and I'll show them exactly what went into to making this all work.
I know that as you got going with it, because obviously you do a lot of work with pianos and keyboards and things like that, but how much of a challenge is it? Obviously had to really be something you were
very
going,
much
I want to resolve this.
When I started, well, the whole idea was if we could come up with modifications that pianos that were prepared artistically could survive for a period of time, because I saw pianos that were beautifully decorated, but then after a week or so, they were done for. Mm-hmm. So that was the idea. And with this second piano, I wanted to go beyond what we did with the first one, and I really didn't know if it would all work. Just putting the two pianos together, I wasn't sure that would work. It never had been done before, and to my knowledge, nobody. I posted a lot of material on Facebook pages, mm-hmm. devoted to piano technicians, and I didn't have, one has 4,000 technicians and one has 3,000 technicians. Not once did I have somebody say, well, I've already done that. I don't think anybody had tried that before. And same way with that, and putting the pianos together, the two pianos, and same way with the 3D keys. I haven't had any feedback from people that saying, well, you stole my idea. So, mm-hmm.
So I did want to ask about that, because you are part of these groups that, I mean, there's a lot of technicians in there, and I know you communicate with a lot of them. Have they really been, several of them, following along to see how it's working, and they've been kind of picking your brain on it?
Yes and no. Honestly, this was so much work. I don't think, I would be surprised if anybody tries to duplicate the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I personally would like to my wife wouldn't like this idea, but I would like to do it again with what I know now. For one thing, I'd pick a different piano. I've got a Wurlitzer. The Wurlitzer inside is not really built for an outdoor venue as far as its sound quality. I would pick a Yamaha P-22, which is very common. You see them in band practice rooms, church basements, all over. I tune more P-22s than anything else. They're a quality piano, and it would produce a bigger sound. And I think I could make it quite a bit better than this one, even.
But
I would like to do a project where I document the entire process so other people could
follow along.
Could follow along, yeah.
Because that's one of the challenges. That for many, they'll take a piano, set it out, and you know, if it lasts a summer without doing hardly anything to it
has to have a roof over it or a tarp.
Yeah.
And you see articles all the time. Like Iowa City, for example, Des Moines, and other places around Iowa, where they have a outdoor piano project, and they'll put pianos outside. And they'll always mention, or almost always mention in the article, that a tarp is provided for inclement weather. Well, the catch is you have to get the tarp over the piano before the rain starts. And here in Iowa, you know, everybody's seen days where it's been perfectly sunny outside, and you look outside, and all of a sudden, pouring out.
Pouring.
And then the piano's toast. One soaking and a piano is done for. So,
and for those that sit inside, folks, those are inside. I'm going to say, yeah. I mean, you know, they'll have public pianos, but they'll have them in inside venues.
Well,
which
yeah,
is a little
and
different.
And some quote outdoor pianos are actually put under a roof or under an awning, and that's not the same.
Yeah.
I wanted a piano that could just stand out in the middle of the field and get poured on and wouldn't affect it at all.
So open, kind of an open house, again, mm-hmm. and we're talking about, you live at 410 Monona.
410 Monona. It's
but
on the back of the lot, and the alley in between Crawford and Monona is the best way to access
okay,
it.
Okay, so it's a sizable shop, folks.
You'll
see it.
So. Yeah.
And again, this is going to be sitting out there on Saturday afternoon. I know that you really want to get it out there, though, so people can get a chance to see it and use it. You want the public to use this.
Right, right. And that's the reason I went ahead and got the trailer cart to pull it behind, just a flatbed cart. And the idea is I can take it from the shop to downtown without inconveniencing the city, because last time with the last piano, the city had to send out a crew to move it. And I know they did it very willingly, but I know it's an inconvenience for them. And for this piano, it's going to be going from downtown. DMAC would like it for their STEM program. Sacred Heart likes it at the opening of school.
Sure.
I've got some nursing home areas that like it. So I'll be able to move it around. And I've got it on, I can put wheels on it so it could be rolled down the street. And then the wheels are taken off immediately. It's kind of like NASCAR when they change the wheels real quickly. It can be done in 5 minutes. I don't want to leave it on the sidewalk on wheels.
Do you still have your attached seat?
Oh, well, I'm going to. That's an example of something that is not quite done yet. But
that was one of the new additions on the original.
Yeah, I didn't have that at the very beginning, but I put that on. So
well, and people, when it was out there, when we started back in 15, hard to believe mm-hmm. that long ago, but they liked it.
People had a lot of fun with it. So
had a lot of fun. We're hoping this will continue the same way.
Yeah, I hope so.
So Saturday afternoon, they get to see it. And again, I do know you had sponsorships for some of the keys.
Yeah, if people would like
to
make
people could still do that.
Yeah. I have a list of people that have donated. If they would like to make a contribution, $60 would sponsor an entire key. The keys are actually made in three segments, so if they want to sponsor a third of a key, it's $20. And I've got a number of keys that have not been sponsored yet. I'm keeping a list, and I'll be making a plaque to put on the side of the piano. And they actually get to take a Sharpie and write their name on the side of the key, not on the top of it where you ordinarily see it. But and if anybody wants to donate, the easiest thing to do is just make out a check to Boone Outdoor Piano Fund and drop it by the former Bank of the West, or BMO now. Yeah. So, yeah.
They could
go into that fund.
There's an account set up there where they could...
Don't make a check out to me. I do not want this running through my account. So it goes to Boone Outdoor Piano Fund.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I'm guessing, too, at some point, probably need to have a few reserves any repairs down
the road. I'd like to have a reserve fund. I think Todd would be willing to make keys for replacement keys. But I want to be able to pay for those as we go. Mm-hmm. And if we, if there's any other things that we need to develop, I'd like to have the funds there available. So
as you were going through with this and stuff, it's, again, which parts, I mean, you know, did you like the way it all came together for you? I mean, this was a lot of trial and error.
Yeah, the toughest part has actually been to make the keys perform like actual wooden piano keys. They're plastic, so it'd be like trying to make a plastic guitar sound and play like an actual Gibson acoustic guitar. It's not a simple thing to do, and I think I've come pretty close. This is not to be confused with a performance piano that you could sit down and play something really highly technical. For one thing, it's a Wurlitzer studio, which is not meant for really high-end performance pieces, but... you should be able to sit down and play ordinary contemporary music on it and enjoy it.
That was one of the things you wanted to do, get it out there so the public could have some fun with it. So, Chuck Bain, our guest on our program today. Again, piano. Okay, throw in your business again, the piano restoration and tuning.
Yeah, I specialize in restoration of vintage uprights, which not many technicians do. So because of that, I get pianos sent to me. I've got one from Tucson, Arizona right now that was sent to me, and I've got one from Minneapolis that was sent to me. I just got done with Frisco, Colorado piano because technicians will advise their customer to send it all the way to Iowa because they don't want to deal with an old upright. So, and I completely restore them. So that's my business.
That's what he does too. Retired. Staying busy. I do appreciate you taking time to stop by and tell us a little bit about this project. Folks, it's Saturday afternoon, 1 to 3.
Saturday morning.
Saturday morning.
9 o'clock to noon. I'll discuss the construction of the piano, and then in the afternoon we'll have a chance to play it and
roll
take
it
videos
outside,
and that sort of thing.
So you can stop by a shop again, 410 Monona. Use the alleyway. That's the easiest way to get there.
You can park on Monona Street, but then go to the back of my lot.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for taking time to stop and visit with us.